Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wednesday, the 1st of November, had a lot of basketball games, 13 NBA games, 26 NBA teams playing. We've got some blowouts. We've got some game winners. We're going to talk about it. Let's go!
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He responsible.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And today we are reviewing the 13 games that went on Wednesday, the 1st of November. And we're going to be going through all of the games, talking about the most relevant fantasy players, talking about things that are interesting, some rotation interesting news, some performances that caught my eye, and everything that we can take away from these games for fantasy basketball purposes. Now, I'm going to be doing these once a week on the Wednesday nights, because there usually are a lot of games played on the Wednesday night, so I can talk about as many fantasy basketball players as possible. It will be a long show. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of games, a lot of shit to talk about, so it will be a long show. I've heard your pleas and cries for timestamps in the YouTube video. I will do my best to get them up there. It's a little bit more work, but I will do it for you guys so you can skip along to the relevant fantasy teams that you want to hear my thoughts on. But we're going to be going through all 13 teams, so strap yourselves in. Lots to talk about in today's show. So, if you want all my thoughts in live time and you don't want to sit through an hour and a half video podcast, you can follow me over on Twitter at BallBoysFantasy if that's more your jam. But this is going to be a long one, so let's get stuck into it. All right, starting over in the Portland Trailblazers versus the Detroit Pistons. Now, this game here, I wanted to highlight, first of all, that in this game towards, I think it was the end of the third quarter, that Scoot Henderson went down with an ankle injury. He did perform okay, 11 points, 7 assists, 40% from the field, and 100% from the free throw line. No other stats there, though. I don't think it seemed super serious, but he was ruled out shortly after three-quarter time and didn't come back in the fourth quarter at all. He is someone that I think they're going to be taking their time with and being extra cautious of. Obviously, he was their top pick, the number 3 overall in the draft. So they're not going to risk him doing further damage. And he is someone that relies on his athleticism. So ankle injury. That meant that at the end of the game, we saw a lot of Tumani Kamara play, and Skylar Mays also played a decent bit at the end. I don't think that Skylar Mays is someone that we need to really worry about in standard leagues just yet. Maybe just keep an eye on him. In deep leagues, 16-plus leagues, I think you want to make sure that he is someone that maybe if you need those assists and steals that you have a look at and maybe potentially grab. Otherwise, that's all he's going to give you. This just highlights again that someone like a Malcolm Brogdon needs to be on every roster. He should be on every roster. Can't be on everyone's roster, but he shouldn't be owned in every single league on at least someone's roster in your fantasy basketball league. So if he is available, make sure you go and grab him. He had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 5-11 from field, hit a 3, and had a steal as well. So he's been chugging along nicely. And let's talk about Shaedon Sharpe, man. This guy, I am consistently very impressed by. I think he is getting better and better nearly every game, it seems. 29 points in 42 minutes, mind you, played a lot of minutes in this game here. 9 of 16 from the field, so very efficient. 3 of 6 from 3, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 5 assists, which is what we like to see. He had a steal. He had 2 blocks, 5 rebounds. This is really, really encouraging. The concern was for him was, he's going to score a little bit. But can he fill it up in the other areas? I think the injury to someone like an Anthony Simons has helped him. And obviously, they're not fully turning the keys over to Scoot Henderson just yet. So him playing a little bit more in the pick and roll, doing a bit more on-ball creation opportunity for him is allowing him to get those assists. And the defensive stats are there at least enough for him to be doing really well. He is, I think he's top 50 right now in value. So keep firing him up. And the minutes obviously are not going anywhere. Jeremy Grant had a solid scoring line, still did nothing else. One rebound, no assists, no blocks, a steal. 8 of 10 from the free throw line. That's pretty typical Jeremy Grant. And how about DeAndre Ayton? I had to double check this because he has had one free throw attempt this season. In his, I want to say they've played 5 games so far, one free throw attempt. Now, he's still doing pretty well, and the fact that he got 5 steals is incredible here. Don't rely on that. That will not be a common occurrence, but a decent line with 16 points, 11 rebounds, 5 steals, and a block. Efficient from the field, which is nice. Matisse Thybulle, I don't understand why they keep starting him and playing 17 minutes. It's really weird to me. But again, Scoot Henderson, to me, I haven't had a chance to talk about him since my last podcast where we went through the big slate of games. I think before this injury, he was starting to look a little bit better. He's obviously been someone that's been really, really tough to hold to start the season. We expected him to be bad. I don't think I expected him to be this bad, although the last 2 games is more along the lines of what I expected him to start the season in. The reason I think it's changed is because the first few games, he was playing a lot off ball. He was playing a lot in the corner. They were running more pick and rolls with Sharp, Brogdon, Simons when he was there. But they have now started to trust him with the ball in his hands more. And he's been asked to do a lot more in the pick and roll especially. And he still looks good in those situations. So I do think that if you can hold and his injury isn't super serious, that is the play that I would be doing. And he will be getting a lot better than this. 7 assists in 20 minutes is pretty good. He is someone that is going to be able to put up good value in the back half of the season, in my opinion. So I would very much encourage you to hold. And I am holding him in the industry pickup league where I have him owned. And hopefully the ankle injury is not too serious. Let's talk about the Detroit Pistons, and Asar Thompson is just one of my favorite players to watch right now. He is so exciting to watch. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and he did it efficiently today. 8 of 14 from the field, lob, dunks, cutting. He's just someone that is super cerebral, has a great feel for the game. 2 steals are here, no blocks, but they've been there as well, so love him. Keep him on your fantasy rosters, and Killian Hayes had a bit of a rough night from the field, 0 of 6 from the field. He's not someone I don't think we need to worry about in 12 or probably even in 14 team leagues, in my opinion. Maybe a 16 team league, you can have him if you're looking for those steals and assists. But I'm watching the minutes of Jaden Ivey very closely. He had 22 minutes here, and it still really surprises me how few minutes he is playing compared to someone like Killian Hayes. And I think, well, I would hope as the season goes on that we see these kind of minutes flip and we're seeing Killian Hayes play more like 20, 22 and Ivy playing more 26 to 28 minutes per game. So right now, he's probably not someone you need to have in your roster on 12 or 14 team leagues, but I am keeping an eye on when those minutes start to flip, that he is someone at least in a 14 team league and in a points league 12 team that you can definitely have on your roster. But right now, it's probably not worth it. One of the more weird things that I did not see coming this season was Ivy playing less than 20 minutes off the bench. Just not on my bingo card this season. Cade Cunningham had a big game, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Not super efficient, 11 from 27 from the line, but hit 5 of 9 from 3. That's, you've got to love 3 of 3 from the line. So he's still ticking along quite nicely. And Isaiah Stewart, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Hit a couple of threes. He is, to me, a 14-team league guy you can have. Maybe in 12s, you can have him if you're looking for those rebounds. But he's not a high priority, in my opinion. So you can have him, but I don't think I'd consider him a must-add. And Marvin Bagley stepped up for Jalen Duren, who missed with the ankle injury. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks from Marvin Bagley. You don't get that very often, so treasure those. 30% from the field is not the best, but those assists and blocks from Bagley, you'll take that and run with it. So I think that's all we need to worry about. I don't think there's anything else on the bench we need to concern ourselves with the Pistons. All right, let's go to... Where is the next game here? Okay, let's go. Milwaukee Bucks versus the Toronto Raptors. And let's talk about Giannis. He had a pretty rough game. The Bucks, as a whole, had a very rough go of it today. And Giannis just had a lot of trouble shooting from the field. He was kind of blanketed a little bit by my guy, Scotty Barnes, here today. But 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal for Giannis. A very down game for him. The lack of assists is something that I am monitoring with Giannis. He is someone that obviously has averaged a 6-plus assists in the previous few seasons. He's averaging fewer than 3 so far in, I think, his 5 or 6 games on the season. That will obviously come up, but it is something that I think we can expect to drop from seasons past with Damian Lillard now in this team, who, speaking of Lillard, had 15 and 6 assists. Only got up 9 shot attempts, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. They just kind of... They weren't really switched on this game, and a lot of their starters were very poor, with Lillard himself being a minus 26 in this game. So kind of got smacked around a bit by the Raptors in this game. So a lot of this we can't really read in too much. Chris Middleton, I think, played his 17 minutes entirely in the first half and then didn't come back on in the second half, which, again, really strange. I don't know what's going on with their minutes. I've adjusted his projection in my, you know, for the Ball Boys NBA season guide over there. So I've dropped his minutes down. I expected him to ramp up to 30-plus minutes at some point this season. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I'd have to think that at some point he gets to sort of high 20s in minutes, and at that point he'll be worth rostering. But right now it's a hard hold. It is very, very disappointing because obviously if he had IR, you could stash him there, but he's obviously playing, so you can't stash him. He's putting up pretty bad numbers. Like right now, that's not a 12-team line. I still think you can hold him for a little while. It hasn't been 2 weeks yet for the NBA season. So I still think if you've got Chris Middleton on your team, you hold, you pray that those minutes start to ramp up. But they've been 16, 17 minutes for the previous 3 games in a row. Very discouraging signs. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there or what is actually going on with his knee. It could just be stuffed. I'm giving him more time, and I think, again, we always need to keep in perspective. This is week 2 in the NBA, week 2 in fantasy basketball. So even if you go down in your first 2 matchups, it's not the end of the world. But if you start to fall back after sort of 3 or 4 weeks, then you've really got to start to make some tough calls and really ask yourself, am I dropping Chris Middleton to add someone who's going to help me enough for the risk that I'm dropping someone who could potentially be a top 80 player, you know, down the stretch of the season. So it might come a point where we do have to make that drop, but I don't think it is just yet. The rest of this game you can pretty much throw out. Malik Beasley, I'm not getting excited. He shot 70%, 6 of 9 from the 3 and 2 steals. I'm not expecting that any or most nights. So pretty much throw the rest of this game out. The biggest thing to me is the assist from Giannis and the minutes cap for Chris Middleton. Let's talk about Toronto Raptors and... jokingly, my guy who was on the bus show for category leagues, I think he was on the bus show for points leagues, but I later sort of, that was right before they adjusted the rankings. So I kind of, you know, commented on that saying it probably wouldn't be there now with the updated rankings, but he is someone that is absolutely killing it right now. There's no way around it. He is absolutely on fire. I have adjusted his rankings, and I think you can pretty much view him as a top 45 player from here on out. He is looking aggressive. What I'm really encouraged by is the rebounding. That was one thing that fell off when Jakob Poeltl was there. 12 rebounds in 29 minutes is awesome. The defensive stats have been there. He's being aggressive and getting to the free throw line, getting to, you know, getting his shots up, 21 points, 12, 5 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. It's been great, absolutely great. Now, I say I've adjusted his ranking to sort of a top 45, top 40 player. That's where he was ranked on Yahoo's thing. So again, my point was he could get there, and that's fine. He looks like he is going to get there, which is great for everyone who drafts him at that spot. But in terms of the value you got, I don't know, maybe we'll see. But at the moment, he is absolutely killing. I think he's a top 20 player right now. I do think that settles down a little bit. He's not going to continue to average 10-plus rebounds. But my concerns for him at the second half of last season are definitely reduced a fair amount, and he is looking really, really good. Jakob Poeltl has bounced back nicely these last few games. 14 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 blocks, 70% from the field, and didn't hurt you from the free throw line in this game. So great, great game from Jakob Poeltl. Hopefully you didn't panic, and hopefully you were able to buy low. For God's sake, if he's on the waiver wire, go and grab him immediately. But that obviously will kind of slam shut the buy low window potentially. Dennis Schroeder killed it again. 24 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal. He won't be this good, but he is definitely someone worth rostering, especially for those assists. OG, solid, hit 100% of his shots. Won't do that every game, but really, really nice. And a good bounce back game for Pascal Siakam. He'd been a bit down, but 26 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. No defensive stats, but he hit 5 of his 8 threes. Again, not realistic to expect that level of efficiency, but it is nice to see him bounce back with a solid game. And even in the beatdown, Gary Trent Jr. only played 23 minutes, 8 points. He hit, no threes. Had no steals, so he is safe to leave on the waiver wire. But big win for the Toronto Raptors. Let's go to another blowout, and it doesn't look like a blowout on the scoreboard with the Washington Wizards losing to the Atlanta Hawks by 120 to 130, but this game was over pretty quickly, or at least sort of before that fourth quarter, and there was a lot of garbage time played in this game. The Wizards kind of came back in the end and made the score look a little...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bit better than what the game actually was. Let's talk about Jordan Poole. 20 minutes, 13 points, no rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He only had 1 free throw attempt, hit 2 threes. It's a bad game. It is definitely a bad game for him. And the concerning thing to me here is this is like the second or third time we've seen, obviously, the Wizards get blown out and the minutes for Poole are down. One of the things that I was, one of the reasons why I was high on Poole and why my projections were, encouraging or, aggressive for him was that he was going from a situation where he was coming off the bench where he played 30 minutes a night to being the guy, the number one or 1A, 1B guy. And I was thinking he was going to play, starter, star level minutes, 35 minutes per night. Now, if the Wizards are going to get blown out every second game, that will not happen. And games like this where he only plays 20 minutes, are going to hurt. They're going to really hurt his total. And if he's not getting to the free throw line as much as I thought he would, or at least his free throw attempt rate was in Golden State, that is also going to hurt. So right now, again, I will admit that maybe I was a little bit high on him because of overlooking those factors. He could definitely be better than this. So I do think that he is a buy low window. A lot of people don't like Jordan Poole. I see it all the time. Why are we so high on this guy? This guy's crap. He's trash. He's so bad. And it seems like a fun thing for people to be reposting things on Twitter. That casual shot he had against Boston the other day where he, drilled behind his back and lazily got back to the three-point line, chucked it up, and Kristaps Porzingis blocked it. It's bad, right? It's obviously not good, but people love to repost that thing. And I know Josh Lloyd has this thing about highlight real bias. There seems to be this thing with Jordan Poole in particular that's like low-light real bias. So he is someone that people love to pile on. And I will admit, he's been bad. I still think he'll be much better than this. I have adjusted his projections. I've dropped the minutes down a little bit. And instead of him looking like a top 30 player, he still comes out as sort of a top 40, top 45 guy, which is below where I expected him to be just because of those minutes coming down. I've also just dropped his free throw attempt rate down a little bit. Still someone I think has some value, especially if you're punting the field goal percentage. So again, if that is your team, go and look at and see if you can get him as a buy low, because I still believe that through sheer opportunity, he will get there. And hopefully, cross your fingers that, you know, at least the blowouts only happen one every three games, not every two games. Denny Avdia was really good here. He was one of the few, well, the only player in the starters that was a plus in terms of the box score, plus minus. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block. He shot 10 of 16 from the field, 50% from 3, hitting 2 of them. This is interesting. Again, someone that I think can definitely be rostered in fantasy leagues. I don't think we're going to expect this from him moving forward. And the battle between him and Bilal Koulibaly is one that I've been monitoring. And so far, we haven't really got many answers just yet. The shooting from Denny in this thing is not realistic. He's more of a rebounds, assists, steals guy. And in 24 minutes, this is not something you would expect. But he is someone that has the ability to put up lines if he gets decent minutes. He did it in 24 today. Unrealistic shooting. But he can be on your roster. And if he is available, he is worth a speculative ad to see if he can build off this performance. And if he does get more opportunity as the Wizards discover exactly how bad they are. The rest of this game, again, nothing really to see here. Tyus Jones was very poor as well. 6 points, 3 assists, and a steal. 50% from the field, but only shot it 6 times. Didn't get to the free throw line. Just pretty empty game. Mike Muscala started at center this game. So after Daniel Gafford was out last game, and they started Kuzma at the center, and they put Bilal into the starting lineup, they switched that around this time. Didn't seem to work very well. They don't really have many good options at center, so they do need someone like a Daniel Gafford to return. Bilal Koulibaly played 28 minutes in this game, which was enough to get him 3 steals. Only the 5 shot attempts. He hit a 3. 3 assists as well. He is someone that really is, at this point, a steals or blocks streamer. And I don't know if his upside is there enough to be stashing him in 12-team leagues. In a deeper league, 16, 14, he is someone that maybe you can be holding on to for the potential second half of the year breakout or improvement. But in 12s, I don't think that you're going to want to stomach the ups and downs of his minutes and production on a nightly basis just yet. But on any given night, he can give you some decent steals and blocks, and I think that's where he can be utilized as a streamer for 12-team leagues, for category leagues. For points leagues, you're just ignoring him at this stage. The Atlanta Hawks, now, they did change their starting lineup here, and they brought back in Sadiq Bey for our beloved Jalen Johnson to come off the bench. Now, the minutes here is the interesting thing here as well. So Sadiq Bey played 32 minutes to Jalen Johnson's 24. DeAndre Hunter also played 33 minutes. And despite this game being fairly lopsided, the minutes here obviously didn't reflect as much as the low minutes did for the Washington Wizards. So that was interesting. But again, I wouldn't panic if you're a Jalen Johnson owner. I think he's going to be fine. He still put up 8 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists in this game. Hit both his free throws. So don't panic. He's going to have a long leash, I think, in fantasy league. So just wait and see how this one shapes out. It wouldn't surprise me if he jumps straight back in to the starting lineup, or it doesn't take long for him to be back there. But a little bit annoying to see them mucking around with it still when he's been so good to start the year. DeAndre Hunter, I think, is someone that we probably need to be adding in 12-team leagues. He is looking a lot better than we've seen him in the past. And the encouraging thing is that he is doing other things, not just scoring. 2 steals, 3 assists. He's shooting efficiently as well at the moment. Getting to the free throw line a decent amount as well. So this is a really great line from him. He is traditionally someone who scores points and doesn't do a whole lot else, but he is getting some steals. I did see one of the steals that he got was just literally the other team passing the ball to him. So that probably won't happen too often, but he has been getting some steals over the last few games. So I'd be adding him, and if he can put more other stats around his scoring, he can quickly become quite a valuable player, potentially push into that top 100, where he currently sits there at the moment, I believe. So I do think that he is someone that needs to be added in 12 teams, and just to see where it goes. And fingers crossed that he can keep up the peripheral stats. Clint Capella had 21 versus Okongwu's 27, and this is why we did not panic on Onyeka Okongwu. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, a block. Was crazy from the field, 6 of 8. So what would that be? That'd be 75% from the field and 100% from the free throw line. That is an awesome, awesome 9 category line. Now, he didn't give you any steals or any threes, but the rest is really, really good. And he is someone that, again, if he has been dropped by anyone in your league, stop what you're doing. Pause this video. Pause this podcast. Go and add him onto your fantasy team in a category league immediately because, again, this is him playing as a backup. If at any point that switches, then he is going to absolutely take off and you can't afford to leave that on your waiver wire when he is still putting up usable lines when he's coming off the bench. So this is why he was my number one sleeper, because he's capable of doing it in a backup role. And if he gets a starting gig at any point, if Capella goes down or is traded, he's going to blow up. So absolutely make sure he is on a roster. Jontay Murray and Trae Young did their thing. Trae obviously played after being questionable going to this game, but got his 10 assists and 2 steals. Got to the free throw line heaps. Awesome. And not much else for us to really concern ourselves with this game. All right, let's go to another schlacking. My Boston Celtics undefeated. 4-0 Boston Celtics. Put the foot down against the Pacers. And this is a game where I don't really think we need to talk about too much because it was over so, so fast. If you stream TJ McConnell, congratulations. Obviously, we had no Tyrese Haliburton. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, steal. Really efficient from the field. Great, great stream if you got him there. And he is someone that we should look at to stream in the future if Haliburton misses more time for sure. Definitely keep an eye on that. Now, he played 28 minutes, which probably was higher because of the blowout. Andrew Nembhard started and played 20 minutes, 14 points, 1 assist. Not really much else there at all. And yeah, just the rest of the team just really didn't do much. Turner struggled, you know, what's that, 33% from the field. Just, big old bad game from the Indiana Pacers. And I really don't think you can read too much into this game, except for the fact that Buddy Hield is not good enough to be on your fantasy team. And drop him. Yes, go ahead and drop Buddy Hield. Boston Celtics, again, kind of not too much to talk about here, but they just kind of got it done. Low minutes for all the starters. And yeah, I really don't think there's much to talk about here. So we're just going to move on because that game was very much over very quickly. Let's go to a game that wasn't over very quickly. Miami Heat versus the Brooklyn Nets. Now, what I was watching in this game was the Cam Thomas show. And what I thought was interesting in this game was I think at halftime he was shooting 10%, 1 for 10 from the field. He was 1 of 2 from the free throw line. And I was thinking, okay, it's not going in. He's played, I think at that point, 17 and a half or 18 minutes. What are they going to do in the second half? Are they going to allow him to keep getting the shots up? Is he going to continue to see the minutes? Because in the past, when the shot hasn't gone down, he's been someone that has been not allowed to continue to shoot through it because he doesn't really do much else. But in this game, he continued to shoot. In fact, he nearly took as many shots in this game in the second half as he did in the first half. Now, they went in a little bit better in the second half, 3 for 9. Still not great, but I'm actually encouraged by this game, as weird as it sounds when it's probably his worst game of the season. I'm encouraged at this game because it wasn't going in, but he was still given the green light to shoot. So that tells me that they are, or at least while Cam Johnson is out and Nick Claxton is out, at least while those guys are out, he's got the green light, even if he's struggling from the field. So he had 13 points, 2 rebounds and assists, 3 steals and a block. Don't rely on those defensive stats. 3 of 4 from the line and 4 of 19 from the field is obviously dreadful. It hurts your field goal percentage. We need to be aware of that with him. He probably is better suited to a punt field goal percentage team. But as weird as it sounds, I'm encouraged by this because he wasn't benched after having a terrible first half. He still got up 34 points. They won the game. Not that he helped too much, but they did win the game. So yeah, that is my weird take about Cam Thomas and me being encouraged by the fact that he went 25% from the field. Let's go and talk about Mikal Bridges. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. He is still doing okay. And I think that this is kind of what we should expect from Mikal Bridges for the rest of the season. I don't think that this is a buy low opportunity. I think this is just what he's going to be. So if you differ in your opinion, or if you have him and someone's offering you a top 25 player, I would take it because, again, I just don't think he's a top 25 player on a fantasy basketball basis. The 9 category rankings might have him there because he didn't turn the ball over and he's kind of efficient, but he doesn't have the huge strengths compared to some of those guys. The rest of the game, Lonnie Walker, you might be running out to grab him. I don't think you should. 17 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He shot 4 of 9 from the field. He got to the free throw line a bunch and hit 8 of 11 there. I'm not running to grab him. I actually don't think he's worth the bother in a 12-team league. In a 14-team league, you can give it a try. The 3 steals, you're not going to expect that at any point during his season. I don't expect him to get to the free throw line as much as he did there. He is kind of like that DeAndre Hunter, but worse in the fact that he scores and doesn't really do much else. And the rest of this team, there's not too much for us to talk about. Ben Simmons left the game with a head injury, I want to say, but came back and played 34 minutes. He has been pretty solid, I would say. A little underwhelming here, 2 of 5 from the field. No steals, but he had a block, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists is okay. You'd hope for a bit better, but he was fine. Let's talk about the Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo returned after a 1-game absence with his random hip issue and played 33 minutes. So I don't know what the hell was wrong there. No word or injury reportings always sucks in the NBA. But 21 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Shot 67% from the field, hit all his free throws. So an amazing, amazing game. And he was sitting on my bench in the Ball Boys Championship 30 League because he was injured in his first game of the week. So I put him on the bench because I didn't know he was going to come back for this game. But he was there and he killed it. And annoyingly, Thomas Bryant was the player who backed him up with 15 minutes and not Orlando Robinson, which frustrates me to no end. The rest of this team, still, it's an okay game here from Jimmy. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Not the best from the free throw line, 6 of 8. Not the worst, but not the best. He is someone I would still consider a buy low target. But just keep in mind that he will miss some games down the season, as he always does. But obviously, this was a little bit better than he has been to start the season. And a big game from Tyler Hero. 30 points, 5 assists, hit 6 of 10 threes, shot efficiently in the game as well. No defensive stats, but again, you're not rostering Tyler Hero for defensive stats. But yeah, really good game and efficient from the field from a scoring point of view. You would have liked some free throws. He misses only one, but other than that, pretty solid. And Josh Richardson played 30 minutes off the bench. He hit 1 of 9 from the floor. But that is interesting to see him getting that many minutes. Obviously, Jaime Jaquez Jr. played 19 minutes as the starter, had 2 steals, and he's really only a deep league steals defensive stat streamer only. But I do think that Josh Richardson is at least worth keeping an eye on, especially in like 14 and 16 team leagues, as a guy who should play a decent amount of minutes, even if it is off the bench. And if he shoots better than 1 of 9 from the field, he can be someone maybe worth looking at as a back-end guy for a deeper league. Let's go to the Cleveland Cavaliers and another player that I'm going to defend with honor. Evan Mobley, my guy. Obviously, I was the Evan Mobley hype dude in the preseason, and I've had some people come at me a little bit and, you know, getting their boxing gloves up and say, I can't believe you fell for the hype. What are you doing? And I look at this line, and he put up 14 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and shot 50% from the field. And I go, yeah, it's not great. Like, I would have loved him to put up more than 12 field goal attempts. But the rest of it's bloody good. Like, I don't know what... Like, what were we... I know I was bullish on him, but, like, my projections for him was, you know, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3.5 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Like, he's kind of doing that right now. And the only thing that's dragging him down in the rankings right now is the fact that I believe he's shooting like 45% from the field. And I don't expect that to happen. Now, he's shooting a lower percentage, I believe, because the fact that there is no other, you know, you've only got really Donovan Mitchell. He's missed a game as well. And, you know, without Darius Garland, who's obviously a great point guard, is going to help him get some good looks. The defense is just keying in on him a bit more, and it's dropping his field goal percentage down a little bit. So he is averaging 15.5, 11 rebounds, 3.5 assists. The low steals is also something here. So he had 2 today. Obviously, that's a low variable, a low counting stat. So 0.4 steals on the season through his 5 games. I'd expect that to come back up. He's averaging over 2 blocks, 47% from the field, and that makes him 38th, which is still better than what he was ranked in the preseason. So again, if you're going to come at me and say, what were you thinking about this guy being, you know, too high on this guy? Just like actually look at the numbers, and they're not that bad. That 47%, if that goes up to 55%, he's 18, 11, 3.5. You know, those steals go up. Like that's exactly where I had him. So I'm still very encouraged about what I've seen. The only small flag that I will say that has me a slightly concerned is the fact that he still only played, he played the 35 minutes, but in a game with no Darius Garland and no Jarrett Allen, although that's to a lesser extent, he still only had 12 field goal attempts. Now, I would love to see those field goal attempts go higher. And he did have a game recently where he was doing that, and that's when he had that 33-game explosion. But last game, he was lower in field goal attempts as well. Same with this game. That's something that I do want to see come up higher. But it is clear to me that they're using him more as a facilitator and a bit of an offensive hub there. So I do expect that these assists to continue this high for him. Donovan Mitchell had another great game, 30 points. Not super efficient, but hit 6 threes, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. And the rest of this team, like even a Max Strus is fine because he's playing so many minutes. But 9 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, no threes in this game. He's actually kind of an overrated shooter, in my opinion. He had the 2 blocks, but there's a point where he might be, like, have a look at your roster. Ask yourself, is Max Strus the worst player on my fantasy team? If the answer is yes, then he is someone that you can drop, because I don't think that, especially those first couple of games that we saw from him, is what we can expect moving forward. And you get someone like a Darius Garland coming back in, those assists are going to go down, the shots are probably going to go down as well. And I just don't think that he, at the end of the day, is going to be someone that needs to stay on fantasy basketball rosters. He is by no means a must-hold, in my opinion. You don't drop him for nothing, but he's not someone that if something better comes along, you can look at dropping him, in my opinion. Caris LeVert is back after he missed a game. 19 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, and a steal. Pretty good. Perfect from the line, which we can't say about him often. And whilst Garland is out, he is someone that you could definitely look to stream in or even add for a back-end value in this stretch. Played 31 minutes, so he is going to be getting a lot of shots up, I would assume. Not much else to talk about. And I cannot believe that Tristan Thompson is still on NBA rosters. Just wild, wild times. The New York Knicks. Julius Randle has been, like, really bad. He's been really bad to start the season. Look, we knew that he was someone that's going to hurt your percentages, give you lots of turnovers and poor defensive stats, but he's been even disappointing to those of who were lower on him. And he is currently ranked in 9 category leagues, 277th for the season, only averaging 13 points. He's got 10 rebounds and 5 assists on the season. He's shooting 27.6 from the field and 64% from the free throw line. So absolutely murdering both of your percentages, especially the field goal. And I do believe this is a buy low, but you need to buy really low because he has been atrocious this season, and you probably need to be the team that's punting field goal percentage to make it worthwhile. Now, he'll keep getting his shots. He's still getting his minutes. I don't think that they, I mean, maybe the Knicks wake up to the fact that he's not deserving of this kind of usage and minutes, but I don't see that happening. I think he'll be more likely to bounce back, but right now it is really, really bad. So throw out a really buy low trade offer if your team is punting the field goal percentage, or if you're in a points league and a Yahoo points league that isn't penalized by inefficiency, definitely send out a buy low trade for a Julius Randle, because I think he will bounce back. He will not shoot 28% from the field for the season, as bad as he is. The 13 points is a huge buy low for me there. The rest of this team, Josh Hart played 29 minutes, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 11 points. That's a solidish game, although you would have liked some defensive stats. The minutes are encouraging. And DiVincenzo had a good game here as well. Some clutch blocks and defensive things at the end of the game as well. 16 points, 2 steals and a block, 2 rebounds, hit 3 threes. I don't think it's too much to get excited about. We've seen this rotation be a bit all over the place, and this was also without RJ Barrett, who did not play in this game. So do keep that in mind, that the minutes kind of were there for quickly DiVincenzo and Hart, but we are missing one of those key players in the rotation in Barrett. So again, we can't really rely on that. I still think that of all those players, Quickley is the guy that you want on your fantasy team. He had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. Missed all his threes, but he will hit some in most nights as well. So yeah, I still think of all those guys, Hart, Grimes, DiVincenzo, Quickley, Quickley is the guy that you want on your team. All right, let's keep tracking along. Yep, like I said, it's going to be a long podcast. New Orleans Pelicans versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Zion Williamson, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, no defensive stats, and poor field goal, which is not what we normally expect from Zion, but we'll give him a break because he's normally amazing. So solid-ish counting numbers, the efficiency and lack of defensive stats and threes means it wasn't an overall great category league game, but solid. And CJ McCollum had a going today. 29 points, super efficient, 10 of 17, hit 5 of 8 from 3. Still not the best free throw shooter, and that's been one of the weirdest things of the last few seasons, him falling away from the free throw line. He used to be a great free throw percentage guy, but is a negative for him now. But he played pretty solid. And Jordan Hawkins, playing 37 minutes. Now, if you're in a deeper league, or even a 12-team league and you need threes, I think that he is someone you could have a look at. Now, I don't think it's going to last when Brandon Ingram comes back, but this team desperately needs shooting. They desperately need spacing, and he can do it. And I do really like his ability to shoot off on the move, shoot off the dribble. And the fact that he played as many minutes as he did today and had the second highest amount of shots behind a Zion by one is really encouraging. 5 assists, 2 steals. I don't know how much you can expect from him in those areas, but it's not the worst flyer or upside or speculative ad that you could make if you can live with the poor efficiency. And obviously, he's not going to give you any blocks or anything like that. But punt freak, field goal percentage teams, you can have a look at him. And again, don't get your hopes up too high, but someone we can at least look at. The minutes here between Valanciunas and Larry Nance are starting to go back into that pattern. So Jonas Valanciunas, he had 19 points and 9 rebounds, a steal and a block, 60% from the field, which is all good. But to me here, this is a moment that if you have Jonas Valanciunas, I would be trying to sell high at this point because he was higher in minutes at the start of the season. Larry Nance was coming back off an injury. They were kind of ramping him up, and it's starting to trend that way where, and in this game, he played fewer minutes than Larry Nance. Still a good game. So again, you can try and sell him on the fact of the stat line and what he's been doing. But I do think that it will start to get worse for Jonas Valanciunas because those minutes are not where we need him to be for him to be putting up sustainable value moving forward. Herb Jones really didn't do much in this game. No steals, only 1 block. So any game where Herb doesn't give you a bunch of steals is not good for his fantasy value. So again, he's really just a steals specialist. And again, like I said, he doesn't give you steals. He doesn't give you much. As for Larry Nance, 14-team leagues, 16-team leagues, he's a guy you could look at. He gives you out-of-position steals and assist numbers on good efficiency. He's not going to score a whole lot, or I wouldn't expect the threes. He hit a three in this game very often. But he does give you, like we said, those steals and assists and rebounds, field goal percentage. So a unique kind of player. I don't think he's for 12-team leagues just yet. But again, in 14-team leagues, I think you could have a look at a player like Larry Nance as someone who can give you some weird stats. The OKC Thunder, Chet Holmgren is a beast. He is a monster. 19 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, hit a 3. 8 of 14 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Again, I've just tweaked my adjustments and projections for him, and he is looking more and more like a top 35, maybe a top 30 player in fantasy basketball leagues because his game is so perfect for fantasy. And yeah, the fact that he's hitting threes and he's playing efficiently, he's getting blocks, he's getting rebounds, he's just very, very good at basketball despite him being skinny and people thinking that he's going to break anytime he someone posts him up. He's really good, and I'm a big fan. Jalen Williams has been a little bit disappointing to start the year, but this was a solid game. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, no steals or blocks. The steals are down, and this is always the tough thing for players that have huge steal numbers, and especially players that have huge steal numbers in short, smaller sample sizes. Very hard for us to translate that over to the next season, expect them to pick back up where they left off. But 8 of 9 from the free throw line is solid, so he is still doing enough to obviously be rostered as well, but... hopefully you weren't expecting the top 40 numbers that he did this second half of last year. Shea's doing Shea things, 3 steals, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. The free throw attempts are down from last year, but he's still obviously really, really good. And Josh Giddey, solid, a steal and a block, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. His rebounds have been able to stay up at least solid enough, so that is very encouraging for him. And on the bench, there's no one really to discuss here. 18 minutes for Cason Wallace versus Lu Dort's 30. That swap is not happening just yet, but I'm always looking out for it. Let's keep going to the Houston Rockets versus the Charlotte Hornets. Gordon Hayward we're going to talk about here. Now, he, again, in the first box score review recap show, he was someone we talked about being a must-add player, and I maintain that he is someone that needs to be on fantasy rosters. He will likely get injured at some point. He will. He's never been able to stay injury-free or stay healthy, but until that time, needs to be on a fantasy roster. I played 31 minutes, 17, 5, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, did it efficiently, missed a couple free throws, but that's all right. He needs to be on fantasy rosters. LaMelo Ball had a bad first half. He had a better second half, but still underwhelming, I would say. 19 points, only 1 rebound, 5 assists, and a steal, hit 2 threes. I don't know what's going on with LaMelo. He seems a little bit off, but again, I think maybe... I mean, he's still a young player at the end of the day. He was negative 14 in the plus minus, so wasn't very great when he was out on the field. He is someone that I think you could buy low, potentially, from some... managers out there. Remember, his strengths and weaknesses, he will turn the ball over, he will shoot poorly from the field, but I do expect him to rebound better and get some more points, shoot more threes in the future as well, but he is someone that who, to this point, has been a little bit disappointing. Let's go and talk about Brandon Miller, who played 24 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He's been better than I expected to start the season. I still don't know what's going to go on with... I've forgotten his name. He's that much of a shit bloke. Who am I thinking of? Bloody hell. Who is the... I'm drawing a complete blank. Anyway, when that guy is coming back, he is going to... It'll be interesting to see these minutes. Miles Bridges, far out. There's too many games and I'm losing my goddamn mind. When Miles Bridges is potentially back, and I think, again, I tweeted this out a few weeks ago, but the more time that goes by and there's no news, I think he's just going to waltz back in and pick up where he left off. And... shit as that is, I don't know. I think that's what we need to be bracing for. So again, if Miles Bridges is on your waiver wire, I'd be adding him because what are we, like 4 or 5 games into their season now? So you only need to wait it out for another week, week and a half, and you could get yourself a top 80, top 90 player back for free on your waiver wire if he is available. So I do think you need to go and grab him if he is available there. That's for both points and category leagues. But in the meantime, Brandon Miller's been doing okay, better than I thought. I still think he's more of a fringe 12-team league guy and pretty much there for points and threes only. I don't expect him to do much more outside of those stats. Maybe get some rebounds here and there. Kind of like Keegan Murray of last year where... it's solid, it's nice, but it's by no means a must-have in fantasy basketball terms. Mark Williams played 25 minutes, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 block, and an assist. This is... it looks bad on the surface because he only played 9 points and 6 rebounds, but this is more or less what I expect from him moving forward. I think the rebounding will definitely be better. And again, the 25 minutes, you'd hope that would be a bit higher. No fouls, so it wasn't foul issues. It was just the fact that they chose to play a bit smaller at times as well here. So again, one of the things that I was a bit concerned about with he and Gafford was just the fact that they're by no means dominant offensive centers that are sort of on the offensive priority list every night. And those players are more prone to highs and lows on a night-to-night basis. But I still think he is worthy, obviously, of a roster spot. He still is someone I think is going to be a top 100, top 90 player this season. But you will have games like this, weeks like this, where he is a bit underwhelming, but he will bounce back, in my opinion. So don't do anything silly with Mark Williams. Let's talk about the Houston Rockets and Dylan Brooks. We're going to start there because he's actually been pretty good. 38 minutes, 5 steals, 5 assists, 20 points, hit all three of his threes, 7 of 9 from the field. So first of all, 7 of 9 from the field is not consistent and not reliable from Dylan Brooks. But 38 minutes, the steals are nice, the assists are solid, and in this game, Amen Thompson went down with an injury. I believe it was his ankle, the same ankle that he injured in the Summer League. So if you have Thompson out, you've got Tari Eason out, then there's not that much pressure for Dylan Brooks coming from the bench. So he's probably going to play heavy minutes moving forward as long as they are in the game. And so the 38 minutes is not ridiculous for us to expect. Maybe not this quite every night, but he'll play mid-30s in minutes. And that might be enough to see him get solid-ish enough points. You know, he might be able to get you a couple of steals in that time. 3 to 4 assists per game in that time as well. Hit a 3 or 2. Like I said, don't expect the efficient shooting. He's best suited to a punt field goal or a points league player. But he is someone that we need to consider adding to your team if he suits what you need. And in the points league, I would definitely be looking to add Dylan Brooks until at least some of those bench guys come back and we see his minutes trend down a little bit more. But for now, he can definitely be on rosters. Freddie Van Vliet did his thing. Great, great game, actually. 22 points, 11 assists, hit 5 threes, perfect from the line, 1 of 1. Didn't murder your field goal, so that is a solid night for him. Şengün is plugging along. 27 minutes is interesting. He also, his backup, Jock Landale, had 19 minutes, so it's not as if they dominated all 48 minutes from the center position. They did run a little bit of small ball in this game as well, but even still, from what I've seen so far, I'm still big on Şengün having a great year. 4 assists, 7 rebounds, a steal. Hit his only 3-pointer, 9 of 12 from the line. That's actually a really good fantasy line. So he's doing what I'd hoped he would do so far this season. I think he could even be better. And like I said, Amen Thompson went down with an injury. He's obviously not someone that we need to hold on. I don't think at this stage it's going to be very hard for him to crack minutes. And I think you're going to be waiting too long for it to be worthwhile. So now that he's injured, I think if you were holding on, I think this is a time where you can now drop Amen Thompson and move on and try and either stream his position or grab someone else that we've talked about today as someone you could potentially add moving forward. All right, we're getting there. We're getting there, guys. Denver versus Minnesota. This was another blowout-ish kind of game. And Aaron Gordon stunk it up, man. Really disappointed me in my industry pickup league. He had a lot of foul trouble, only played the 18 minutes. Picked up those fouls quite early. 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. Yeah, just a garbage game. Basically throw this one out. I think a lot of it due to foul trouble. And couldn't really get to the rim with Rudy Gobert patrolling the paint there a lot as well. Jokic still did his thing, though, so he was good. And Jamal Murray struggled as well. 5 of 16 from the field. Only 1 of 4 from 3 as well. So, again, pretty bad game for a lot of the Nuggets players outside of Jokic. Michael Porter also sucked. So, again, very down game for a lot of these guys. You can, again, kind of throw out a lot of the stats, a lot of the playing time for a lot of these players. Caldwell Pope, I still don't think is a must-add player, must-have player. He's a fine steals and threes guy. Kind of like your Gary Trent Jr., but, you know, I don't know. At least his minutes are secure is the only thing. So I'd rather him over Gary Trent. But that kind of vein of, you know, low turnovers, steals, threes, kind of inflating his value more than I think. But again, what in this game we can kind of chuck out a bit here. And on the other side of things here, pretty solid game. Great game from Anthony Edwards. Was 50% from the field. 2 steals. We'd like the assists and rebounds to be a bit higher, but efficient from the field and the free throw line is definitely something that we like to see from him. That's always been holding him back. Jaden McDaniels played great in the time that he was in there. 21 minutes, so still kind of ramping it back up, but was efficient. Rudy Gobert was not, which is not something we see, but yeah, complete flip, 0-for-7 from the field and 100% from the free throw line. Weird. Don't expect that moving forward. But the blocks are still there. The blocks were down last year. They're back at the moment, so we keep riding him here. Mike Conley was solid in this game, 17 points, 6 assists, and hit 3 threes. He was kind of teetering on the, you know, do drop kind of a range, but this kind of affirms that he is someone that you can definitely hold in 12-team leagues. And Naz Reid played the 19 minutes, put up 16 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. He's okay to hold. You had 19 minutes from him, 25 minutes from Kyle Anderson, and 21 minutes from Jaden McDaniels. I think we see Jaden McDaniel push up closer to 30 minutes. And then you probably see Naz Reid closer to sort of 17, 18. Kyle Anderson closer to sort of 21, 22. So it kind of renders both of those players, when McDaniels is up to speed, kind of obsolete in 12 teams. You can hold them for now, but I'd be looking at other options to maybe get ahead and look for that next guy, because I do think that those minutes will start to ramp up. They might have been higher if it wasn't a bit more of a blowout in this game. So just be mindful of that. Despite a decent line from Naz Reid, maybe you can look to sell high, or, again, look for that next kind of a player with more value. Let's look at the Chicago Bulls versus the Dallas Mavericks. And the Dallas Mavericks get by on this one. Patrick Williams is bad, man. Like, oh, it's so disappointing, because obviously he's got the role, he's got the minutes, but he just can't do anything with it. 0-for-6 from the field, had no points, 3 rebounds and assists, a steal and a block. Like, the steal and a block is fine or whatever, but far out, this man does not do anything. And yeah, he's always a guy that I've got on my watch list. And, you know, there's been talks about a Zach LaVine trade, and in that situation I might look to add him, but oh, just, I don't think he's him, for lack of a better phrase. And I think, yeah, obviously you don't need to have him. And shout out to Vucevic, who had a big game here, and I've been critical of him, so I've got to give him props when he plays a big game. 21 points, 20 rebounds, had 2 steals and assist, hit a 3, and did it efficiently from the field. No free throw attempts, but again, really, really nice game. Never questioned his ability to rebound. So 20 rebounds is definitely something he will do from time to time. And the efficient shooting you'd like to see. So, yeah, had the same, equal most to LaVine in terms of field goal attempts in this game, which is an encouraging sign for him. So that was pretty, pretty, pretty good. Alex Caruso did his 6 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block. He's someone that some of you might be having at the back end of your roster. He's okay. He's okay to have an assist, a steal. I don't think you can consider him a must roster player, but more of just like that specialist Herb Jonesy kind of a type player. He's a really good player, but the minutes are just probably not going to be there consistently, but he will have some decent lines from time to time. But again, he's the kind of player that at the end of your roster, if you're like, you know, looking at the waiver wire and looking at other options, you can probably potentially look at someone that may surpass him on your fantasy team. But the rest of the game, again, a bit of a poor game from DeRozan. Poor from the field, got 6, hit all his free throw attempts, 7 assists and a steal. So that's solid, but again, you'd like him to shoot a little bit better. And he's been a little disappointing so far to start the season. Let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks and Derek Lively the second. 7 points, but had 13 rebounds, 6 assists, if you don't mind. 2 steals, a block, 60% from the field. 1-of-4 from the free throw line is a bit gross, but just a really great 9-category performance. And if you were worried about him when he was doing some foul trouble and lower minutes, hopefully this encourages you. Hopefully you held during those rough times. The fact that he is a starting center on a decent NBA team with a player like Luka and Kyrie to throw him lobs, I think he's going to have sustained value. Better in a category league. So in a points league, I might have understood it more if you'd moved on for him after a couple of quiet games. But in a category league, I think he needs to be someone that just stays on your roster for the rest of the season. As long as you're happy with rebounds and good field goal percentage and blocks being the mainstay of his fantasy value. I wouldn't expect 6 assists many, many nights, but we'll take it here at that point. Luka did his thing, had 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 18 points. Not great from the field, but still put in a solid-ish line and 2 steals as well. Grant Williams is someone that we'll talk about. 25 points. He shot 70% from the field, though. He hit 7 out of 9 threes. So you can look at this line, and you know that he's going to play a lot of minutes. But outside of the 25 points on 7 of 9 shooting from 3, It really is quite empty. Five rebounds, one assist, one steal. I don't think that he's someone that we need to worry about in 12-team leagues. In a 14-team league, you might want to look at it, but even then, he's just a really bad fantasy guy on most nights. And again, Kyrie Irving is not here. He will be back, hopefully soon. And again, he's just not going to shoot this well on most nights. Trust me, I'm a Celtics fan. I've seen him. He can go on stretches like this, but it's not going to be the norm, and he doesn't give you many other stats a lot of the time. So you look at this line. It's fine. It's good. Don't expect it moving forward. Same with Derek Jones Jr., who had 17 points, 5 rebounds, and assist. He could easily go and play 14 minutes in the next game. Maxi Kleber was ruled out of this game, I think, early on. Only played the 4 minutes, so that, again, will give minutes to Lively a bit more secure if he has to miss more time. So, again, more of a reason to make Derek Lively still a must-roster player. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is definitely someone you can have in your fantasy team if you are looking for points and threes. He won't be this efficient, but he will get it up, and he will shoot it. Be willing to, you know, live with the poor games. But again, he is someone I'd rather have a Tim Hardaway Jr. than a Grant Williams at this stage, because of the fact that I at least know that Tim Hardaway Jr. has more of a, you know, more evidence of him being someone who can sustain high scoring and 3-point volume moving forward than Grant Williams does. So yeah, I think that's all that is for that team. Let's move on to Memphis and Utah. And Memphis are, what are they now? They're 0-5 to start the season. Not very good. Xavier Tillman had a very poor game. 0 points, 4 rebounds, no assists, only 1 steal, 0-3 from the line, and only played 14 minutes. Now, he had 3 fouls, but this is not very encouraging. The game played a little bit smaller, and again, they got blown out. So the minutes are low across the board here, but Xavier Tillman's minutes are a lot lower than the rest of the starters, maybe outside of Zaire Williams. So this is why a lot of the times where people had asked me, would you rather have Tillman, Jalen Johnson, or Derek Lively? And Tillman was the answer to me that a lot of the times I was saying was the drop, because he's looked great, but I think the Grizzlies, as they started bad, they're going to be starting to search for other options at center. Santi Aldama is hopefully back soon. Now, I don't think necessarily Santi Aldama starts ahead of him, but he might just cut into the minutes a little bit more. Maybe you see more Jaren Jackson at center, or you know, different other options. So I don't think he's a drop. Don't be dropping Xavier Tillman. But again, if we were expecting what he was doing at the start, where he was putting out really good lines, I think it's somewhere in the middle between those two things here. So I don't think he's a drop. Hold him at this stage. But again, one to monitor moving forward, I think. But again, the blowout definitely does dampen a lot of people's minutes here. Desmond Bane was solid, but not spectacular. 21 points, 3 rebounds, no assists, and a steal. Had 4 threes. Again, kind of doing what I expected him to do this season. And if that's disappointing to you, then I don't know what to tell you. Marcus Smart's been solid. Finally started cooling off from the field today. But again, 4 steals, 6 assists, and a 3 is still good for him. And JJJ had his block, 19 rebounds, perfect from the line, which is nice. Hit a 3. So of all the fantasy players in this game for the Grizzlies, he was probably the best. But even still for him, it's a little bit disappointing. So they just got beat up by the Jazz and absolutely crushed in the first half. So not much to take away here. The Utah Jazz were on fire, especially early on. Larry Markkinen was insanely hot to start the game. Cooled off a little bit, but again, 19 points, 11 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Hit 4 threes, perfect from the free throw line. Really good game for him. Johnny Collins was solid-ish. 16 points. The rebounds were lower, but 2 assists, 2 steals. Hit a couple of threes. The percentages are kind of gross for him. Normally, he's a better field goal, free throw guy. So he's kind of cruising along, doing all right. Kind of maybe there or thereabouts of what I expected. Maybe slightly underwhelming when it comes to the blocks, but I think that will come back up. But let's talk about Walker Kessler, who a lot of people, I'd imagine, are panicking on him right now. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, so he's still got his blocks. 25% from the field, only 1 of 4, and only played 18 minutes here, and 2 fouls, so it wasn't really foul trouble that got him, you know, the low minutes. It was the fact that Kelly Olynyk played 26 minutes in this game. Again, we'll point to the blowout nature of this game. So I'd imagine it would have been higher had the game been closer. But this is slightly concerning to me for Walker Kessler. I don't think he's going to be someone who plays 30 minutes this season. I think he's closer to sort of 26, 27 minutes a night this year. And this was part of the concern for me for Walker Kessler. Again, he's a very one-dimensional type of player. And one-dimensional type centers in the NBA are not typically the players that play 30-plus minutes per night, even when they are good at what they do. You know, you look at someone like a Clint Capella or... who else can I think of here? Someone like a Steven Adams or someone like that. These players don't typically play bunches of minutes. Now, don't drop him. It's definitely a buy low. It's definitely a buy low in a category league. In a points league, he is not as good. And I still don't think he's a drop in a points league, but he is much closer to that in a points league than in a category league, obviously, because of his value concentrated in the blocks and field goal percentage. So he will be better than this. The minutes will be higher and the rebounds and points will be a little bit higher than this. But again, he's not going to give you assists or steals. He gave you the two blocks here, so that's kind of what you drafted him for. But this was always my issue with drafting him. He will be better, though. He will definitely be better, but I don't think he's going to be the player that maybe a lot of us hoped he would be. Let's look at the point guard battle. Talen Horton-Tucker played 23 minutes in a start, and he was solid. 50% from the field, had 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and 9 points. No defensive stats, but we're not seeing the Keontae George takeover just yet, and I don't know if we're going to see it for a little while longer. I sort of tweeted out a couple games ago that I wouldn't be surprised if Keontae George started the next game because of how he looks, but they're giving Talen Horton-Tucker a little bit more time to prove himself, and he obviously did okay in this game. They won by big, so I don't think it's going to change soon, but it might still happen at some point, so you can still keep stashing Keontae George. It's very dependent on your league, I think, if you can afford it, if it suits what you need. So again, if he blows up, he's going to blow up in threes and assists. He's still going to have poor field goal percentage. He's still going to turn the ball over a lot. He's not going to give you blocks or rebounds. So again, it depends on your team's needs, whether or not stashing him is worthwhile. For the most part, I actually think you don't have to. I think you can drop him and move on, because I don't think the upside is sky high like someone in the past years, like a Jalen Williams or a Walker Kessler or a Mark Williams. I don't think he has the upside of those players. So right now, I don't think stashing him actually is the right thing to do for the majority of leagues. But in some leagues, I could definitely see it being something that pays off in the end. But I think for the majority of leagues, that's not worthwhile at this point. All right, let's go to the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. Two games to go. And obviously the Kings lose it by one to a Klay Thompson, I'll say buzzer beater. There was 0.2 seconds left on the end of the game. But Domantas Sabonis played a great game. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 50% from the field. He was poor from the free throw line, missed a lot of points at the line there. But again, with no De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis stepped up. And the rest of the team was not the greatest. We saw a decent game from Malik Monk, who was a guy that we sort of were talking about in terms of streaming. 2 blocks, don't rely on that. You would have hoped to see some more assists, but 16 points with 3 threes is solid enough. Kevin Huerta is just a back-end option, really, at this stage, especially while Fox is out, but might be a droppable player in the future. Davion Mitchell had 3 steals and 4 assists, which is definitely useful. You can stream him in whilst Fox is out, but I think that's about it. I wouldn't consider him a guy that you need to hold on to long-term, or if a better option comes around, he's easily droppable. Keegan Murray really struggled from the field, missed all 7 of his threes, but he was active. He was crashing the glass and being active on defense, so that shot starts falling, and that line could look a lot better. I'm still encouraged by the defensive stats with the 2 steals here, so don't panic on him. He has been good up until this point, and the rest we don't really need to talk about. Over on the Golden State Warriors, looking at the minutes between Chris Paul and Draymond Green. So Chris Paul played 28, Draymond played 28, Klay Thompson played 29, Kuminga played 17. So to me, Kuminga, you can go ahead and drop in standard 12-team leagues. He is not someone that I ever really believed in, especially when they are healthy. So he is a stream when some guys are out. I think that's it at this stage. Same with Moody as well. Obviously, he had the 1 point. as much as I like Moody, just when those guys are healthy, he's not going to be doing it. So Chris Paul, only 2 points, but 8 assists. I could have sworn he had a steal in there last I checked. I'll have to double check that one there, but 4 rebounds. 28 minutes. I think that's more or less what we should be expecting from him moving forward. He did finish the game, close the game out. I don't think Wiggins was in there. Wiggins was out, and they had Chris Paul, Thompson, Curry, Looney, and Draymond. They also subbed Looney out at the end to put on Gary Payton as well. So to me, that makes me feel better about Chris Paul in terms of closing lineups, him and Draymond. I wasn't sure whether or not one of those guys might come out. But it looks like they're prioritizing Steph, Clay, Paul, and Draymond. And then that fifth guy between Wiggins, Looney, and GP, Gary Payton II in this one here as well. So positive for him. The scoring obviously is going to suck. He's not drafting for scoring, but the assists have obviously still been there. And the fact that you got 8 assists from him, 9 assists from Draymond. Steph only had the 3, so the assists are going to come down from probably Steph, in my opinion, more than anyone else. And but he's still obviously Steph Curry and playing really well. The rest of this team, Kevon Looney is quietly still getting it done in 23 minutes. 9 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal, 75% from the field. You could do worse than having Kevon Looney on your team, especially if you're in a punt point situation. Those rebounds and assists from a big guy, the steals are solid, the field goal percentage is solid. He won't play a huge amount of minutes, but he is very important to this team considering their lack of size. So I do think that, again, he's not the highest upside players, but you could easily do worse and should be 100% rostered, I believe, in 14-team leagues. In a 12-team league, if it fits what you need, then go for it. If not, you don't have to worry about it, but like I said, you could do worse. I'm worried about Andrew Wiggins. I think I'm not there yet, but it would not surprise me if he is someone that we need to consider dropping at some point. 14 points, 2 rebounds, no assists, steals, or blocks. He even shot 60% from the field, so he was efficient. He just didn't really do much else. And his minutes are dropping because Kuminga's kind of stepping up. Like we said, he didn't close the game. They went with the smaller lineup with Clay, Steph, and Chris Paul all out there. Didn't think it would come from Wiggins, to be honest. It's kind of caught me a bit by surprise, but as it stands right now, he's been disappointing, and he's trending towards a drop. I don't think I'd do it yet. I'd give it a bit more time, but if he becomes someone that we can't hold on any longer, that would not shock me. So we'll stay tuned to that and see if he can improve on these numbers, but not good so far. One more game, guys. We made it to the end. One more game, the Lakers and the Clippers. Lakers get there by 5 points, and I started doing this one at the, this game finished while I was recording. It went to overtime, so we've got some big minutes on the back-to-back for both Kawhi and PG. First of all, great the fact that they both played the back-to-back. Now, they were obviously a bit more shorthanded. James Harden didn't play. We did have PJ Tucker play some minutes, but the fact they played in an overtime game, 37 minutes for Kawhi, 41 for Kawhi, 37 for Paul George is very encouraging. They both played great. 6 and 5 with 2 steals for Kawhi, hit 5 threes. The free throws, you wish he missed and made a couple more, but other than that, excellent game. Kawhi, really, really good game as well. 6 threes, 6 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 35 points, great field goals, great free throws as well. So big, big games for both of those guys. And Russell Westbrook, another really big game for him as well. 6 turnovers, which is kind of gross, but 24, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 steals, huge. I think that he's going to be the one that takes the biggest hit when James Harden comes over, but I think all of them cop a little bit of a hit, as does James Harden compared to what he did in Philadelphia. Now, I haven't talked about the James Harden trade just yet. Didn't think that I'd bother with a full show for that because, again, he hasn't played yet, so the impact on Philadelphia is kind of minor. But I think in terms of James Harden, I see him more as a top 30 player rather than a top 20 player in fantasy now. I don't think he averages 10 assists. I think he's closer to 9, closer to 19 points, 5 or 6 rebounds, a steal, 1.2 steals, half a block. He's still going to get to the free throw line a decent amount. So he'll be really good, but more a top 30 guy rather than a top 20 player. But if you've got him in the 40s and 50s, the fact that you've only missed maybe 2 weeks of you know, James Harden, I think, is a massive win. He definitely, the trade happened sooner than I expected to. Bones Highland played 34 minutes as a starter, filling in for, obviously, James Harden, who I expect that spot to be in the future, but didn't do much with it. Only had the 4 points, 5 assists and a steal, but don't worry about him. And not really much off the bench. Norman Powell played 35 minutes, but again, when James Harden comes in, that's not going to be happening. So I don't think we have to worry about him at all moving forward. Lakers, Anthony Davis has been a monster this season. He's actually, I believe, last time I checked, was the number one player ranked in fantasy basketball. Let me just double check that now. But he was great once again. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. Yes, he still is the number one ranked player and by a decent margin in fantasy basketball. We've seen this happen before. We saw it happen last year. You just cross your fingers and hope he stays healthy, but he is, after that first half of the first game, oh, sorry, the second half of the first game, he's been incredible. And LeBron James says, what minutes limit? What the? Oh, I just can't, oh, I can't with these coaches, man. Yeah, we're going to try to keep him to 30 minutes on most nights. And I think since that quote, I don't think he's played close to 30 minutes in any game. I just want to double check that. But he played 42 minutes. Now, it wasn't an overtime game, but that means he would have played 37 minutes in a regular game. But 35 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He's still LeBron James. And I don't know, there was a small window where people were panicking after that quote that his numbers were going to come down. But since that, I'm just checking that game. So, yeah, since that game where he played 29 minutes in that opener, he's played 35, 39, 33, 42 and a half minutes in the game since. So throw that minutes limit out the window. That was just a garbage quote. And it just, it makes me laugh, but it also makes me cry a little bit as well. D'Angelo Russell was good. 27 points, 6 assists, shooting efficiently. And he's been really good so far this season. I have my doubts whether that's going to keep up, but so far, so good. And you can keep throwing him out there. Austin Reaves had a bit of a bounce back. He was disappointing the last couple of games, but looked a lot better here. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals. Again, don't get comfortable with the steals. 15 points there as well. Hit all his free throws. I still think he was a little bit overvalued, especially while this team was healthy. But when LeBron or Davis go out, he will be he'll be the biggest beneficiary. And let's talk about Christian Wood. He has been getting much more minutes, and he is definitely outplaying Jackson Hayes, who was subbed in before him in that first game of their opening night, but has since supplanted him in that regard. Taurean Prince was out of this game very late with a sore left knee. So he was a late scratch. So I wonder if the minutes, you know, maybe would have been lower if Taurean Prince was there. You also have Vanderbilt. You've got a factor back in. But again, you could do worse than grabbing Christian Wood as an ad. I think he is an ad for some teams, not all teams. If you're a team that's punting assists or free throws, you can have a look at someone like a Christian Wood, at least for a short-term value while some of those guys are out. Hachimura, he was also out in this game as well. So we had no Hachimura, we had no Vanderbilt, and we had no Taurean Prince. So do keep that in mind. He has been playing well before this when some of those guys were in as well. So again, you can add him. He was solid in this game, but just keep your expectations in check that I don't think that this is the norm moving forward. But just in case it is, I do think that you could probably add him and at least see where things go moving forward, because that is obviously a good line. 10 points, 11 rebounds, a steal and a block for Christian Wood, and 66% from the field with 2 threes. That's a very good line. So yeah, definitely you could definitely add him and see how it goes. And but yeah, just remember that those guys are out and shouldn't be too far away. Wowee, an hour and 15 minutes. Oh, we're getting better at this. We had an extra game and did in 15 fewer minutes than last time. So thank you very much, guys. Again, apologies, it's a long show, but, you know, tough luck. That's what these shows are going to be about. The next show we're going to do is another streaming preview show for the next week. And then we're going to be starting to do our rotating topic. So we are next week going to be doing a buy low and sell high show as well. In a couple of weeks, I'm also going to be going through and doing a dynasty review of all the rankings and stuff. I try not to change my dynasty rankings too often and be too reactionary, but there are obviously some things that I'm going to be changing in the first month of the NBA action. So we will talk about that in a week or so's time. And next tomorrow. Again, if you are ballboysnba.com subscriber, platinum member, silver member, check out in a second. We'll get it up shortly, but there will be an article explaining how you can get your questions answered in the exclusive Q&A podcast that I will be doing on Friday, my time, Thursday night, your time, or early Friday morning, your time, whenever you get around to it. So stay tuned for that. If you want to get your questions answered, you can go and check that one out. Again, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this one. Give this video a big old thumbs up. Hit subscribe if you haven't already. Follow me on Twitter at BallBoysFantasy, and I'll see you guys next time. Good luck with your fantasy matchups. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.